This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to overcome obstacles in life. Here at Covenant Community Church, we define the abundant life as a life that is happy, productive, and God-honoring. That's the kind of life you ought to be living. That's the definition: happy, productive, and God-honoring. But I want you to notice one thing that definition does not include. It does not say happy, productive, God-honoring, and problem-free. Because we know that as Christians, God has never promised us a problem-free life. God intends for us as Christians to live a happy, productive, God-honoring life, not because we are problem-free, but because we are problem-overcomers. Think about it. You cannot have a happy life if you don't know how to overcome some obstacles. Isn't that right? How many of you have noticed that something is always going wrong in life? Something is always going wrong. A few weeks ago, I shared with you. I came out here, pulled up, as I always do every day, got out of my car, put my key in the door, turned the key, and the key broke off in the lock. Good start to a day, amen? And then I had a flat tire. So there is Pastor Franklin out on the side of the road changing a flat. It's been a long time since I changed a flat, amen? That was a day in which a lot of things did not go right. We have to learn to overcome obstacles because they are going to happen in our lives. God never promised they would not. You cannot have a productive life for God if you can't overcome obstacles. How many of you know that if you're trying to live for Jesus, trying to accomplish something in this world for Him, to be productive for God, how many of you know that the devil will not appreciate you? He will throw things in your path. He will get into your family and stir things up. He will get on your job and stir things up. The devil will oppose you in any way he can. If you are trying to live for Jesus, if you can't overcome obstacles, you will never be productive for Him. The bottom line is simply this. You will never live a life that honors God as long as you are a person who lets problems and challenges and obstacles in your life stop you from doing what you need to do. Go over to Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verse 10. This is God's commentary on people who let their problems, let their obstacles, let their challenges get in the way of them doing what they are supposed to be doing. God's commentary, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Look at this. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know what God is saying to a Christian who is weighed down by your problems so that you can't function the way you're supposed to function? You know what God is looking at you and saying to you? Get over it. Get over it. God is saying, I've given you everything that you need to be an overcomer, to overcome the obstacles in your life. Get over it. If you faint in adversity, your strength is small. Last week, we started looking at Mark chapter 2, the first 12 verses. That's our text. This is the story of four men who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus in order that he might be healed. The man was healed. But in order for that to happen, those men had to overcome some significant obstacles that stood in the way of them receiving from Jesus what they needed to receive. Jesus had come into the city. The word got out. Jesus is here. The man from God is here. The man who can just speak the word or touch you and you be healed is here. And so the whole city came out to see Jesus. And Jesus is in the house and everybody is crowding in, trying to get close to Jesus. And here come these four guys with their friend on a litter. And the crowd is so great, the Bible says, that they can't even get in the door. People are inside, they're outside, they're all around. They can't get anywhere close to Jesus. So what did these guys do? They looked down at their friend and they said, "Well, Fred, we tried. Let's go home." No, that's not what they did. What did they do? They said, "We got to get another plan here. We can't get through the door." Somebody looked up and said, "You know what? The roofs on all of these houses are flat. What if we went up on the roof, knocked a hole in the roof, and let Fred down?" And the other one said, "Knock a hole in the roof? Are you crazy?" And they said, "Well, look, it's either that or Fred's going to stay paralyzed for the rest of his life." So you know what they did? They went, got up on the roof, knocked a hole in the roof, let Fred down in the midst where Jesus was, and Jesus healed him. Praise God. Now, the thing I want you to see about that is these men faced obstacles that they had to overcome in order for their friend to be healed. And we started talking last time about the first thing that you have to do in order to overcome your obstacles that we see in these men. They refused to be intimidated by the challenge that faced them. It was a daunting problem that they had. Look at the obstacles that they faced. This man was totally paralyzed in a time when medical science couldn't help you. The second thing was that crowd. There they are, these four guys, standing there with their friend on a litter, trying to get to Jesus, and nobody would let them through. They faced obstacles. Understand, so many times, when we're facing significant issues in life, the first strategy that the devil tries to use against us is to try to get us intimidated by the magnitude of the problem. The devil is going to whisper in your ear, "You can't handle this. You will never overcome this situation. This situation is going to take you down. You might as well just make up your mind to it. You will never get through this thing. You will always be under this pressure. Give it up." But when the devil trash talks you, you don't have to trash talk him. You can truth talk him. Amen? Here's what you can know when you are facing a tough issue in life and the devil starts trash talking you. Jeremiah 32:27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" When the devil calls your attention to whatever that situation is that you're going through, calls your attention to how big and bad and ugly it looks, how it's much bigger than you are, how you can't handle it, you just turn back to the devil and say, "Okay, I can't handle it. You're absolutely right. But I know who can, and he's on my side. Is there anything too hard for God? There is no problem that will ever come into your life that God can't handle, and God is there to handle it for you." Now, go over to Psalm 138, verse 8. Here's the promise that you as a Christian need to hold on to. "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Whatever it is that you are dealing with in your life, whatever it is that's come against you, that's an obstacle in your path to you getting to where you need to be, accomplishing what you need to accomplish, setting right in your life that which has gone wrong, dealing with issues in your family, on your job, wherever it might be, in your health, whatever. Whatever it is, the promise that God has given you is He will perfect anything that concerns you. If it is of concern to you, you've got God's promise that He is in the process of perfecting it. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care how much he trash talks, the devil can't beat that. So the first thing is to not allow yourself to be intimidated by the problem, by the size of the issue that you're having to face. There is nothing that is too hard for God. As we said last time, if you ever find yourself saying, "This is too much, I can't handle it," you need to recognize that is a lie of the devil. He is trash talking you. Last time we looked at the dictionary definition of the word challenge, because we like to talk about challenges here rather than problems. A challenge is something that you know you will overcome. The dictionary definition of a challenge is a call to take place in a fight or a contest. If I challenge you, I'm saying, come on, enter into this contest with me. I'm challenging you. So when you face an issue in your life, what you need to know is, yes, you are facing a challenge, but all that means is you're going to have to fight to overcome it. But if you fight the good fight, amen, you will overcome. Here's the second lesson that we learn. Go back to Mark chapter 2 again. Look at the first verse. The first lesson is, don't be intimidated by the magnitude of your problem. The second one is this. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. These men brought their friends because they heard that Jesus was in town. In other words, they brought their situation to God. Now, you probably don't find that to be surprising that you would come to church and hear the pastor say, take your situation to God. But this is something that we as Christians know, but how often do we fail to do it? Let me tell you something. We've talked about the fact that we will all have obstacles, we will all have problems and trials in our lives. Well, let me tell you, trials and obstacles and problems drive weak people to drugs and to alcohol and to all kinds of mess in their lives. But people who know who they are in Christ, it just drives them to God. When you have a trial, that is a signal you need to turn to God. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 19. Let's look at an example from the scriptures. Look at an example from the scriptures. In 2 Kings chapter 19, King Hezekiah, king of Judah, was facing a problem. The king of Assyria had brought his army against Judah, and they were coming up to Jerusalem. And the king sent a letter to King Hezekiah to try to intimidate him. Look at verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 19. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. That was the letter that he sent. And he goes into all the details of how many battles he's won against all the other people and all of their gods. And he says to Hezekiah, what makes you think that your God's going to deliver you when their gods didn't deliver them? Trying to intimidate him. Don't think your God can deliver you, Hezekiah. You need to come and just give up to me. Well, look at how Hezekiah handled it. Look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hands of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I love that. Hezekiah took this letter that was meant to intimidate him. Instead of his knees knocking together, what did he do? Took the letter up to the house of the Lord. He brought it to church. Hallelujah. Brought that letter to church. And then it says he spread it out before the Lord. Came up here, got down on his knees before the platform here. We don't have an altar, but praise God. And laid the letter out. And started praying to God about this letter. God, we can't handle this. I don't know what to do, but I'm putting it in your hands. You take care of the Assyrians. And look at what the result of it was. Look at verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Instead of getting fearful, being intimidated, when Hezekiah got bad news, you got a problem you can't handle, he brought it and spread it out before God. And God says, because you brought it to me, I'll deal with it. If you read the rest of the story, God intervened in the camp of the Assyrians. They started dying. I mean, they just started dying off. When the Israelite army went in to their camp, all they saw were dead bodies all over the place. They didn't even have to fight because Hezekiah laid his problem out before God. I love the way the Bible puts that. He spread it out before God. How many of us spread our problems out before God? You know what that means to me? That doesn't mean one of these 2 seconds, Lord, help me prayers. Now understand, 2 second Lord help me prayers have their place. Amen? I mean, if you're driving in your car and you see a car move over from the other lane coming head on at you, that's time for a 2 second Lord help me prayer. Amen? But when you got a problem facing you that you got time, you don't need a 2 second Lord help me. You need to spread it out before God. You need to come and devote yourself to a time of prayer before God. Do you know it's all right to talk to God about your problem? I mean, not just to say, God, I got a problem, but to lay it out for him. You know, God doesn't mind if you talk to him about your problem. Let me tell you a secret. He already knows. We as Christians, we feel like, you know what, I'm not supposed to bother God with my little stuff. Guess what? He already knows what's going on in your heart. Or we feel like, well, I don't want to be negative, you know, so I'm going to pretend that everything is fine. You ever look at a Christian? You can tell by their face that they're carrying about 17 tons of problem right then. And you ask them how they're doing and what's the answer? What's the Christian answer? No, wait a minute. What's the normal answer? I'm fine, right? The Christian answer is, somebody said it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I mean, they're going around like this. I'm blessed. Amen. Well, we are blessed. Amen. That's the truth. Praise God. Well, somebody said, you know, if you're blessed, how come your face don't know about it? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. No, it's fine. It's okay to spread your problem out to God, to tell him how you're feeling about it. If you are down, you let him know you're down. If you are discouraged, you let him know you're discouraged. Now, you're not going to stay that way. Amen. God's going to minister to you. The Holy Spirit's going to minister to you. But not because you're covering over your problem. Spread it out. Spread it out to God. You seek his face, first of all. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. Look at verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What is God saying? You've got problems, you've got issues, you've got obstacles in your life that need to be overcome. Bring them to him. Don't try to handle them yourself. Let's look at an example. Go over to James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Simple example. God says if you got an issue in your life, the first thing you need to do is to bring it to him. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What does God say? If you are sick, what's the first step you need to take? You need to spread it out before God. You need to bring it to him. Call for the elders of the church. Let somebody pray the prayer of faith over you. And God says you will be healed. Now, if you're a Christian, that's not news to you, right? If you're a Christian, you know that you're supposed to pray about if you're ill or if you have a problem. You're supposed to pray about it. But let me make my confession to you. You all know I have an engineering background. And that means, you know, I love logical thinking. I love solving problems. You present an issue to me, my mind automatically goes into problem-solving mode. Well, when I have issues in my life, you know what the first thing I tend to do? Is start solving it. Start thinking it through. Start putting together, this is what I'm going to do in order to get through my problem. And then later on, somewhere along the way, after I put my plan together, if I think about it, I'll say, oh, Lord, by the way, please bless this. How many of you know God is not in the business of blessing our plans when we make them without him? Amen? Now, we're going to talk about plans in a moment, but God says, come to me first. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here's a man I talk about all the time because he was a good man, a good king, but he made a fatal mistake. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. I come back to this man over and over again because the lesson is so clear. There is nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Amen? But what was Asa's problem? It wasn't that he went to the doctor. What was his problem? It says he sought not what? The Lord. He went to the doctor instead of coming to God. He went to the doctor before he came to God. And because he went to the doctor instead of coming to God, he only got what the doctor could give him. How many of you know that there are some things that the best hospital in Harrisburg can't help you with? You can go down to Hershey Medical Center and they'll just throw up their hands. Sorry. You can go to the Mayo Clinic and they say, well, we're studying this. We think we'll have a cure for this in about 25 years, but you will be dead in 6 months. No. If you go to the doctor first, if you go to the doctor as your salvation, all you will get is what the doctor can give you. God says, come to me. In fact, go over to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 7. Look at the command that God gives us on how to get God to intervene in your situation. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7. Verses 7 through 11. When you're facing difficulties, when you're facing problems, when you're facing a challenge in your life, here's what you need to do. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Do you see the promise? God says, when you have a need in your life, when you need to overcome in your life, the first thing you need to do is simply come to him and do what? Ask. Ask. In the Greek, the tense of that verb is a continuing tense. What it really means is ask, not one time, but ask and keep on asking. How long should you ask God for something that you need in your life? How long should you ask him? Till you get an answer. Till you get an answer. Does anybody remember how many times Paul prayed about the thorn in his flesh? Anybody have any idea? Thank you. Amen. I'm helpful, aren't I? Now, why didn't he stop after the first time? Because he didn't have an answer. The second time, he didn't have an answer. But after the third time, what happened? He got his answer. God told him what? My grace is sufficient for you. Now, that wasn't the answer that he was looking for. Amen? But he got an answer. But until he got that answer, what did he do? He prayed. He kept on praying. He asked. He kept on asking. He kept it before God. Go back. Don't turn there, but think of the verse that we looked at that says, God will perfect that which concerns me. If it's still a concern on my mind, on my heart, what? I need to be sharing that concern with God. I need to not let go, not get discouraged, not feel like I prayed and nothing happened and I don't know What's going to happen? No, what? I keep that thing before God because God has promised if I ask and I continue to stay before Him in that attitude of saying, God, I'm going to receive what you have to give me because you've promised. God says you will receive. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I read an account recently about John Maxwell. He was the pastor of Skyline Wesleyan Church in San Diego. And they were looking for property. Church was growing and they needed to build. They found 30 acres and the price was $2 million. Now for San Diego, that's a good price for 30 acres of land. Amen? $2 million. And they were ready to go for it. It was in a good location, just exactly what they wanted. And then he says, he took his prayer partners out to the land, to walk the land and pray. And he says that as they walked over that land and prayed, every one of them got the sense that God was saying, this is not the place. I mean, they're ready to sign. They're ready to put the name on the dotted line. This seems to be the perfect thing for them. And yet because they brought that situation to God, God said, no, this is not the place. Well, to make his story a short story, what they did was they later had the opportunity to buy 120 acres of land for $1.8 million in a better location. Now catch it. God knew that that $1.8 million land was out there. Amen? And so if they had jumped at what looked so good without bringing it to God, they'd have made a mistake. But let me tell you something else. It gets even better than that. In buying the land that they ended up buying, they were required to buy more land than they really needed. They didn't need 120 acres. And so in order to buy the land, though, they bought all of that, paid their $1.8 million. And then it turned out because of development and what the government was doing, they were able to sell back part of that land that they didn't even need. And the upshot of it was, from the profit of what they sold back because of the prices having gone up, they ended up getting their land for free. Isn't God good? We need to start praying that prayer. Amen. But the bottom line is simply this. How did they get to that point? They took their situation to God. I mean, they thought they already knew, oh, God has given us this wonderful 30 acres for $2 million. But when they prayed, when they brought it to God, they found out that God had a different situation. Understand, when we bring our issues to Him, God will pour out His grace into our situation. But if we try to work it out ourselves some other way, we'll only get what we are able to do.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.